If you have a Bible, or we'll be looking at Hebrews 11 and verse 23. It's up on the screen there. And tonight we're coming to think in our series, Heroes of Faith, we're coming to consider Moses' parents. For those of you who are parents, I wonder, do you remember that first day when you brought your first child home from the hospital? It's quite an experience it is. And that day, first night, you're going in to check, are they still breathing? And you're so nervous, and that goes on for a few days, and particularly a few nights. And in preparation for that, you get all the different equipment you need for them, the clothes they need, the food they need, and so forth. And you get all that sorted out. I remember we got a new car seat when Johanna was coming home from the hospital. And I thought it better to put this in the back of the seat of the car properly on the way to the hospital, not realizing that I'd put it in upside down. But thankfully, she didn't come home upside down, and we had worked it out by then. But you do all you can to prepare and to have everything you need to be a good parent, and you really feel clueless, certainly at the beginning. But what we see in this passage tonight, this verse, is the greatest need for parents is not a particular type of car seat or equipment or whatever, is faith. We read here about Moses' parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses' parents were a couple called Amram and Jochebed. We don't discover their names until chapter 6. And the thing that they had, which was so important for them and so important for little Moses, was indeed their faith in the Lord God. And so tonight we think about their faith, and the first thing we see is faith that is active. Amram and Jochebed acted as they did in hiding Moses for 3 months because their lives were molded and guided by faith in God. Now, here's something very important. People can do the very same actions, but there is a big difference, particularly in God's eyes, if these same actions are controlled by faith or not. I am sure that Amram and Jochebed were not the only parents who tried to hide their newborn boys. But the thing about them, which is very important, is what they did was because of a faith that they had in the living God. And it is only through faith that indeed that God is pleased with us. Hebrews 11 and 6, you know this verse, without faith we cannot please God. Without faith it's impossible to please God. There's another verse in Romans 14:23. It teaches us, without faith, all that we do is sinful. Faith is absolutely vital in our lives for righteousness. For us to be right with God, for what we do to be right with God, it has to be done in faith, with faith in the Lord. Faith is crucial in every area of life. But here we see in this verse how faith is particularly important for parents. Now, you don't read that in the prenatal classes. But that is what parents need. Two ways we need this. First of all, our children need parents with saving faith in Christ. The importance of having this faith in Christ is it brings our children under God's covenant blessings. It brings our children into an amazingly privileged position. The Lord said to Abraham, I will be your God and the God of your seed, the God of your children. And so when Abraham trusted in the Lord, it not only made a tremendous difference for his life, it made a difference for his family as well. It made a difference for his son still to be born. 1 Corinthians 7 speaks of how where there is one believing parent, the child is set apart in the eyes of God. I remember when I was at university, as happens at university, you get into all these debates, and one of the popular debates is the subject of baptism. And I remember probably 2 or 3 o'clock one morning debating with a really, really good fella who is now an Elam pastor, and showing him that verse about the children of believing parents being set apart. He says, I have to think about that. Because it is absolutely amazing that when we trust in God, when we come to that faith in Christ, it makes a difference for our children. And of course, if we don't do that, it makes a difference as well. Our children also need parents whose faith changes their home life daily. Faith in God is not just something you have once and then you bank it for the future. Faith in God is to be something that transforms us daily. Faith in the Lord has to be a living faith. It has to make difference, a major difference in our home day by day. The home of faith should be totally different from the home of unbelief. Moses' parents were influenced in their decision to hide him because of their faith. It was their faith in God that caused them to act the way they did. Does your faith influence the decisions you make in your life? The decisions you make in your home? What does it mean to be living by faith? Well, surely to live by faith means living according to the Word of God. Trusting that what God says in His truth is the wisest, most loving and correct path to follow. So living by faith means believing God's word, living by that word. But also living by faith means living by that word, depending on God totally, depending on His grace, His strength to help us. Have we this living faith? Have we this faith that is active, that Amram and Jochebed had? The second thing we see in this verse is that faith, it's faith that sees God's potential. Moses' parents, according to Hebrews 11 here, saw that Moses was beautiful. According to Exodus, they saw that he was a fine child. They knew there was something special about him. They knew this about their son. Now, of course, every parent believes there's something exceptional about their child. There's no child smiles like our child. There's no child that indeed grabs my little finger like my child. There's no child that burps like my child. Those are things that our child is absolutely amazing in every way. And we can think that way. And we need to be careful. Soon the bubble will be burst, I hope. But what Amram and Jochebed had, what they saw came from faith. This is all under the context of faith. They saw something which couldn't be seen with the human eye. They saw something of the potential for their son by God's grace. What was wonderful was not that their child was the best child that was ever born. What was wonderful for them and what they had by faith was God's plans for their child. Now remember this, they were living in very dark and difficult days. The people of Israel were in Egypt. They were suffering under the hand of Pharaoh, cruelly suffering. And even it got as far as baby boys were being put to death. So it was dark days, but particularly dark for sons born in Israel. But darkness and despair does not rule their outlook for their son. Rather, faith gives them a vision of what God could do in their son's life. Faith made all the difference as they looked to the future for their son. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And if they hadn't this vision through faith, Amram and Jochebed, they wouldn't have saved their son's life. And so we need to have a God-given biblical vision that controls how we think. We need to have this vision which makes a difference of what we think about our own life, what we think about our family, about our job, about our church, about our country, about our world. This means not being controlled by sight, but by biblical faith. Now, we need to ask ourselves, have we that vision? Do we, when we look at my life, do I look at my life just with what I see, or do I have a vision from God of what he can do in my life? The same in regards my family, my church, those in my workplace, those who I study with. Do I just look at sight at the way things are now, or do I believe in this God who can do amazing things in the lives of those I know, including myself? You see, if we have no vision, we'll not think of asking that young person in our class to come to our youth fellowship. If we have no vision of what God can do, we'll not think of really in faith praying for that colleague. If we have no vision of what God can do, then indeed, we'll not encourage our children in the right way. If there is no vision, our future will be controlled by the past. The best of our future can only be the best of our past. And if our past isn't good, if the past of those we know isn't good, then that means slavery for the future. But if we have a vision through faith, if we have a God who can do the impossible, if we have a God who can take the worst of sinners and transform them, if we have a God that can indeed change anyone, a God for whom nothing is impossible, then that will make all the difference in the world. Didn't Abraham have to come to this? To come to this point in believing that God would give him a son when he was 100, believing that he was the God of the impossible. Far too often, we just look at situations in our own life, in our family, in our church, and we just look at them by what we see. We don't have a vision of what God is able to do. And so as we embark on a new year, dream a little. What can God do in your family? What can God do in your class? What can God do in your workplace? What can God do in your church? What can God do in our community? Do we have a vision of a God who can do the impossible? So here we have a faith that sees God's potential. And then thirdly, we have a faith that resists the voice of the world. It says in this verse that Amram and Jochebed were not afraid of the king's edict. They were not afraid of what the king had said and ordered. They would not let a worldly, sinful decree control how they would be parents. When it comes to being parents, as in all areas of life, we must not let the world squeeze us into its mold. Rather, we need to let God's word transform our thinking and the way that we live. Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. There's a key thing in that. We will only resist the call and the pattern of the world if we have presented our bodies as living sacrifices for God. We will only, to put it another way, resist the pressure of the world to shape us according to the ways of the world. We will only resist that if by God's grace we've come to a point of total commitment to the Lord, to be different, to walk contrary to the ways of this world, to walk to a different drumbeat, to walk according to God's will and God's pattern. And so the challenge is, have we truly repented from the ways of the world? Have we turned away from all that is sinful to walk a new way from the world, a new path, the narrow path and to walk that path hand in hand with Christ. As I look at my own life, as I see the lives of many others who profess the name of Christ, so often I see too much of trying to have a foot in each camp. Yes, we want to serve the Lord. Yes, we want to do what God wants us to. Yes, we want to be faithful to Christ, but are we holding on to too much of the things of the world? And let's be very clear. The scriptures are very clear that to be God-pleasing followers of Christ, we cannot let the world's desires control our lives. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, John says this, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And that's pretty uncompromising. "For all that's in this world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." And so we can take a wee bit of God and a wee bit of the world and have like a pick and mix and do that which suits us. We have to have turned back on what the world is saying. We have to be sold out to the Lord. And we have to be willing walking the way that God calls us to walk, no matter what will be the reaction of this world. Let's think of this for a moment or two in regards to parenting and to our children. The world's goals for children and some of the main golden calves that are worshipped by the world include, we'll see them up on the screen here, academic success, getting good qualifications, financial success, getting a good, decent job and security, personal freedom, allowing our children to be themselves, self-fulfillment, having a life in which you feel fulfilled, and happiness in relationships, no matter what that relationship may be, whether it's according to God's model or not. Now, the ways of the world and the vary quite a bit, but I would say those are some of the main goals from a worldly point of view. And those are some of the goals that many parents set out to see fulfilled in their children's lives, to see this success. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with these things. But if these things are the priority for our children, rather than what God says, there is something wrong. Let's look at what some of the goals the Bible says we should have for our children. Salvation. Getting into the kingdom of God is more important than getting into a particular school. Faith. A life of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this personal relationship in Christ. Seeing our children walk in obedience to the ways of God. Seeing in our children the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, and so on. Seeing the fruit of the Spirit in our children's life. And seeing in our children sacrificial love for God and for other people. Look at the two lists. One list is very much about achievement. The other list is very much about character. And that should be our goal for our children. Not that they achieve this, that, the other thing. Those things are not bad in themselves, and I'm not saying they're bad. But the priority for our children is not that they are a success in the eyes of the world. It's far better. It should be our goal of every parent here that our children will be failures in regards to the eyes of the world, as long as they love Christ and are walking with Christ. And so the way we bring our children up, what our children see in us, what we pray for our children, Are we seeking to see the goals of the world? Or the goals of God in Scripture fulfilled? Remember this, part of walking the right path, part of Amram and Jochebed seeing their son go the right way, part of that was rejecting what the world was saying. Not having the priorities of the world as their priorities for their children. We have to have that which is most important to God. Which are your priorities for your children? What are your priorities too for your own life? Is it success from a worldly point of view? Is it happiness according to a worldly point of view? Or is it for what God wants to be real in the life, in your life, and in the life of others? Let's very quickly just recap about the faith that is needed, the faith that is needed for parents and for all of us. It's a faith that is active, a living faith that makes a difference day by day. It's a faith that sees God's potential. It's a faith that has a biblical vision of what God is able to do. And it's a faith that resists the voice of the world. It's a faith that trusts what God says far more than the loudest voice out there. As we approach the table of the Lord, let me just read those words which I read earlier from Romans 12. And may this be our goal. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen.